Before I get started, this probably being the last episode for the year for 2020, boy, has this been a rough one for a lot of us in healthcare and just everybody, really. But I wanted to give a special thank you to all the guests who've come and sit down with me for great conversations and learning experiences for me. I hope you shared them with me. Thank you to anybody who listens. And if you could please follow Revolution RN on Facebook and Instagram and share any episodes if you find any of the episodes to be interesting, as well as rate us on Apple iTunes. I appreciate everybody's support and hope you have a great rest of your 2020 into 2021. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Revolution RN. I'm your host, Paul V, and I'm here with Marina Orms, Director of Oregon Holistic Nurses Association. Oregon Holistic Nurses Association is a refuge for nurses here in Oregon looking for a more complete holistic addition to their nursing practice, learning tools for self-care for themselves, for their workplace, and things to pass off to their patients, and just an overall great group. Welcome, Marina.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Now, you're the director of the Holistic Nurses Association, that's correct?
Yes, I'm the current director.
Okay. Yeah. And how long have you held that position?
I have been the director. This is the end of my second term. We're currently in the middle of elections. So they're 3-year terms. So I've been director for 6 years, and I was on the board for 3 years before that, I believe.
So I gave a brief introduction of the Holistic Nurses Association from my perspective, but I think it might be even a little bit more encompassing than how I described it. So could you share sort of what OHNA is about?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Oregon Holistic Nurses Association got started as a way for nurses to connect who had this particular interest and approach to nursing practice. And they started meeting at Brighton Bush. I can't remember the exact year. It was a couple of years before before my first conference. And my first conference was in 2011. And I've always been a holistic practitioner. And so I was drawn to, you know, what are these holistic nurses up to? And I went to the conference. And at that time, they were in the process of becoming certified as a California board contact our provider so that they were able to provide education to nurses. And that was really a transition point between, a group of nurses coming together to provide support and community for one another to this ability to provide presentations and education. And so that was around the time that I joined. And we're an education organization, but we're also very grounded in this idea of self-care, like you said, of holistic practice, of, you know, finding like-minded practitioners and nurses to talk with, to share ideas with, to get inspired by, and to support one another. So we've been kind of a networking organization and community building and support of one another, in addition to providing the education piece.
Now, you've had your own holistic practice throughout your career. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that background is?
Yeah. So for me personally, I have, like I said, I've always been a holistic oriented practitioner. And my path began back in 1992 when I started at the Oregon School for Herbal Studies. I earned a certificate in herbal medicine at that time. But what was actually more interesting to me was that school brought together the whole concept of body, mind, emotion, spirit, healing. And it made so much sense to me that our experience of healing is not just along one dimension. You know, it's not just mending a broken bone. It's in the context of a real human being, you know, that has relationships and life experiences and feelings of meaning in their life and spirituality and emotional needs. And so when you put all those things together, you get a much more holistic approach. And that's what's interesting to me, because I think that's a real kind of deeper healing. So my path led me actually to discover how that shows up in astrology. And I've been a practicing astrologer since 1993, when I first kind of embarked on this path. And astrology does support that idea of looking at the whole person, of seeing our experiences, our challenges, and our healing path along these different dimensions of body, mind, spirit, and emotion. And then it was actually later that I went to nursing school and became a trained nurse, and I worked in labor and delivery for a short time.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So how did you end up just combining your two interests at that time?
Well, it was as many of our life journeys are, it was kind of a circuitous path. I think I was looking for a way to have a more stable type of, income and career. And I thought that would be nursing. As I got into nursing and worked in the hospital. And then I found the holistic nurses and I thought, you know, this is really who I am, this holistic practitioner identity. And so at that time I had an injury, so I had difficulty working in the hospital and being on my feet. So that also it was part of my journey, but As I decided to go ahead and combine the astrology and the nursing together and use astrology as a modality, really, you know, a healing modality as a way of understanding ourselves better and using the information that we can get from astrology to support our own personal healing journeys.
Yeah, I remember the Oregon Holistic Nurses Association has a yearly conference. This year it's been postponed for the following year, hopefully. It was held at Brighton Bush Hot Springs, which is just a wonderful place, which unfortunately has lost a lot due to the fires out here.
Right. Yeah, very sad what's been happening.
Yeah, it is a great retreat if people are interested in or have been there and are interested in supporting it. You can follow them and offer donations to some of the community there who are helping rebuild. It's a really great place. It sort of has a spa-like feel, but there's so much more to it. There's no cell phone service. It's in the woods. It's all powered by the hot springs and electricity and everything are powered by the geothermal heat from the springs. It's just it's an amazing place. Can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, but, I'm glad you brought that up because Brighton Bush is really it's that off the grid retreat like place that's really based in community and based in healing, and that's kind of where we started meeting and having our conferences and have continued to this day until recent events, having our annual conference there. And we still feel very much in partnership with Brighton Bush, you know, and supporting them in their rebuilding plans and hoping that we'll be having our conference again there as soon as they're able to reopen. Many of their buildings were destroyed in the forest fires in Oregon.
Yeah, and there are people there who live full time all the time, are pretty much dependent on the income from the lodge and residences, and it's I'm sure it's very really hard for that group right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so the conference every year, and just talking about astrology a little bit, I remembered the last one that and that was also my first one, but you did an astrological forecast for the year for nursing. Do you recall what the 2020 forecast was at that time?
Well, I don't know what I said then, but I know that I've been saying for a long time, so I probably said something like heading into 2020 that we know it's going to be a challenging year. The alignment of outer planets, which is a correlation with the energies we experience, is an alignment that brings in themes of deep change at the roots. So foundational breakdown of systems, structures, institutions, including healthcare, including financial systems, educational systems, political systems. So we knew as astrologers, we knew heading into 2020 that that these big shifts would be happening. The thing you can't predict as an astrologer, at least I'm not that good, I guess, is that I didn't know it would be a global pandemic, but we did know it would be something that that pushes us to really deeply evaluate who we are, how we're doing things, and to change at foundational levels.
I remember. Yeah, it was just a new frontier type feel, and I really nailed it. No one expected it to look like this, but here we are.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you don't know exactly what things are going to look like, but astrologically you can it gives you a bigger picture of understanding, what are the energies, what's the feeling, what are the qualities that we're going to experience, what is the the path of learning that we're on, because learning is healing, who we're becoming, what we're learning about ourselves, and how all of that is happening. And that's really how I approach astrology.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I've had my natal chart done and I've done a couple of transits in my life, and I really appreciate that, for the reflective purposes of it, if you get a chart done, it kind of explains you to yourself, and then you don't feel so bad about some of the repeating patterns that you may find yourself in. And so it offers you sort of grace to yourself.
Very much so. Yes. Yeah. It's a feeling of validation. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, you mean this is how I am. It's not just, that I've, failed or not measured up to the way society expects me to be or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that stuff, but getting back to the Holistic Nurse Association. So for a lot of my peers who are members and who have been attended the conference, and the amazing part to them initially is the self-care aspect. And I feel like, and I'm actually seeing that, so I'm a member of the Cabinet of Health Policy and of the Oregon Nurses Association, and we're, so we are fielding what's happening all over in the state with nurses here. And a lot of it is, how do I care for myself? Because this is so much. So nurses are asked to, it's a very stressful time. Nurses have a place, we have a job, we have an income, an opportunity to help, which is very supportive and healing. But we also are being asked to do more. We're asked to, rearrange our schedules to add to, like, for instance, at my home, I have my children at home. They're doing online classes. I have 2 7-year-olds, and 2 7-year-olds are not self-directed learners. And so I have a lot of sympathy for my peers who are also parents, for instance, to have to, do that. Now you're an educator, now you're a nurse, and then I have an employer that's really great, and they are like, well, you can move your schedule around to support this, you know, like, but it's like, but a lot of us are pleading like, well, actually, could you take some more off my plate? But there's just more and more work to be done, especially during a pandemic and in healthcare. So, so it's a lot going on. And then there's other people who live alone and they can't see each other. And so, the Holistic Nurses Association offers tips and tools for self-care. Can you speak as to like sort of that topic? Because I'm sure that gets probably talked about the most, especially with newcomers to the organization.
Yeah, that's interesting hearing that from your perspective. Self-care is just kind of a foundational piece of who we are. In fact, if you go to our website, the homepage starts with, we embrace holistic nursing as a lifestyle as well as a profession. And true healing comes from within. We must first heal ourselves. You know, I'm kind of jumping around, but the self-care piece is really the essence of how we have come together. And so starting as small conferences at Brighton Bush, which have grown over the years, Brighton Bush itself is a place where we can obviously take care of ourselves. It's off the grid, like you said. It's a spa-like feeling. There are hot springs there. Mineral hot springs is just deeply nourishing to the soul and the body. And so just coming to our conference is a self-care experience. And then we have the education piece and the presentation from experts and wonderful people with just some amazing wisdom in the area of holistic practice. But the self-care piece is what we find that people are just craving so deeply. And so just the ability to come to our conference and have that experience of checking out from the day to day and just rest, you know, rest, rejuvenation, deep self-care. And like you are tapping into, you know, the experience of working in healthcare, I think, and for nurses is a very demanding one. And we give. And it's so important for us to be able to give that we fill our own cup, you know, we recharge our own batteries. And that is something that I think nurses are always learning how to get better at, you know, how to do better for themselves. So we always encourage that. Our education is focused on building skills and things you can apply in your practice. But so much of it is also something you can apply for yourself and in your own personal life.
Yeah, I remember the last conference, they went over, you know, like energy healing, acupuncture, use of probiotics, which a lot of people, you know, like see that as more of a, well, that's more of like a not a holistic thing, but previously it was seen as a lot like a lot of people really disregarded gut health and things like that.
And also
Chinese medicine, a lot of meditative deep breathing practices and things like that you can incorporate. And are there any other types of topics, and how are those types of topics presented to the membership?
We go through a process in the year prior to the conference where we're planning, and we reach out to potential presenters, and we find people that we think are going to be really relevant and interesting to our members. And it could be on a variety of different topics, like you mentioned. It could be gut health. It could be CBD oil, and you know how to be aware of the use of that in medical practice. It could be breathing techniques or acupressure, or we try to give people ways to enhance their holistic practice itself is really not a modality. Holistic practice is presence. It's being present with a patient, with another human being. Holistic practice comes from that place of having taken care of yourself so that you are able to listen, to reflect back to another person, to hear at deeper levels what they need. You know, that classic nurse experience of, you know, we're doing, but we need to pay attention to something deeper that's going on with this patient. And typically it will be the nurse that notices that deeper thing that needs to be addressed. And so it's holistic practice really is about awareness and presence. We talk a lot about taking a nice deep breath before you walk into the patient's room and just centering yourself, just being able to be there with what is before you and not be carrying the concerns or worries from a different patient or another thing that happened that day into the room with you. So that's holistic practice. And then to enhance holistic practice, we bring these different modalities. So some of the modalities we've talked about, some of the things we might bring to have presenters and experts present about at our conference that give nurses some of these additional skills that they might use, maybe some aromatherapy, maybe some breathing techniques, Reiki. Some nurses can do Reiki on the staff, you know, or healing touch on the staff to kind of help the nurses feel supported and better able to be present. That's a holistic practice. But also on patients, and some of our members are bringing some of these modalities into their facilities in different ways, or into their own work with patients. And so it gives you some more skills. We also give people a little sampling, right? A sampling of some of the different modalities that are out there that people might come to our conference, experience these different modalities, find one that they really resonate with, that they might then want to go study in depth and get certification around. So it gives people an introduction to what some of these possibilities are.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally can't say enough for how much it's really added to my practice and really got me to think about deeper questions about what am I looking for in what do I want in my practice and what do I want for myself?
Yeah. Really helpful stuff. Yeah. Awesome.
How did the opportunity or what drove you to really step up to take on the director position? Because everybody knows that who's been involved in an organization, it's really hard to, it's not necessarily a job you want to do. It's kind of something that you're just like, well, okay, it's either my turn or something I'm called to do. Can you tell me a little bit more about your path to that?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think when the first conference that I went to, like I said, the Oregon Holistic Nurses Association was kind of in a transition from being more of a community self-care experience to an education. And that was Dion Wright. Dion was the visionary who brought in the education piece, and she pursued the California Board certification so that we could be a provider of contact hours. And so she was the director at that time, and she was really looking for support in her vision. And I just loved her. I loved her vision. I loved what she was doing, and I immediately felt a resonance and like it was something I wanted to be involved in. And she actually reached out to me and said, I'd love to have your help. And so that was how I got involved. And then Dion, after her 3-year term, you know, started looking for someone to replace her. And I was sort of the next logical person. You know, we didn't have a lot of long time committed board members at that time. And so we were small, and we've grown now. We have a really very strong board of 7 people, and currently having elections, and just some really wonderful energy that we've got. But, you know, I think at that time I just saw a need and it felt right to step in.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure so many are glad that you did. And yeah, it does seem to be like somebody nudges you along eventually, and it's like, and then eventually you're going to be asked to do that to somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm looking forward to nudging the next person.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I got to see. It seemed like there was like a lot of transition in the membership there, and I think it's a really loving and caring group that is really supportive of each other and very encouraging.
It is, you know, and that's one of the things that's kept me involved and committed for as long as I have is the quality of the people, you know. And I think that is true of holistic practice in general, because by its nature, if you are a holistic practitioner, you have to be self-reflective, you have to be self-aware, you have to be sort of stepping into just really a higher consciousness, you know, an awareness that you have responsibility for relationships and things that you're participating in, and not being in a victim space. And, you know, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to fix it? How can we address it? And sort of taking on that feeling of empowerment. And the people that are on the board, the members of OHNA, I just feel like really are that caliber of people that we take responsibility for our experiences, our interactions, and for creating what it is we envision and putting in the hard work to make it happen. And to me, like, it just really juices me to work with people at that level and to think that we're creating at that level. And it's always been a spiritual practice and experience as well. Dion and I, early on when we were working together, felt this connection with what we call the spirit of OHNA. And it's like an energy vortex that we can feel and tap into. You know, we both are very intuitive people. And so we sort of call on the spirit of OHNA for guidance in our path and making choices going through our various business decisions and things. So it has been, you know, more than a holistic practice. I think it feels like truly a holistic organization.
And how does the group keep in touch these days? And how do you like kind of come together and formulate ideas for conferences and educational opportunities and things like that?
We have for many years, we've been meeting over teleconferencing because we are spread out different parts of the state. And so, you know, we started out on a phone conference call, and we've now upgraded to video conferencing. But we meet once a month as a board to do all this planning. And each board member has their own individual responsibilities and just keeps going that way. We do have a annual board retreat where we can come together for a long work day or a couple of days and get into some of the deeper work. Once a year, we do that, board members. And so, like, for instance, last year we had planned to have a space at a beach house for a couple of nights where we could do our work on a board retreat. And then we had to cancel that due to COVID, and we had to meet over video conference. So that wasn't our ideal, but we adapted and we just do what we can.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, you guys, because of the, Oregon's a big state, and because of the distance, you know, doing conference meetings makes a lot of sense. And now you're really prepared for the way we're meeting at the time being.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's actually been part of our vision, is to bring more of our education to an online format. And so we're working on that right now. The pandemic certainly pushed us in that direction. When we had to cancel, well, we had to cancel last year's conference because of the pandemic. But then, of course, the fires happened in September, and so it wouldn't have been possible anyway. But when we had to cancel this year's conference, we began doing some online mini breaks. And so we've had some of our board members and some other members presenting a little online session, I guess, just like a short session. Sometimes it's a little meditation or a little education piece, breathing opportunity, something that people can just jump in, our members can participate in. So we've had those about once a month. We've also been posting blog posts. So we've got that going. We have a presence on Facebook, and we're trying to move more in that direction, and so that when we do have a conference again, we will also be able to have these online offerings as an ongoing thing.
Yeah. Now, yes, yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about the mini breaks? So they are live for members, and then but you host them on the site as well, and they are open for anybody.
Yeah. So the announcements come out through our newsletter. So if you go to the Oregon holisticnurses.org and sign up for our email list there, you'll get notifications about the upcoming mini breaks. And I believe that they are posted on our website as a recording. Yeah, if you go to the freebies, there's a freebies tab, and there's some recordings posted there of these mini breaks that were held live.
Yeah, I definitely think people should check them out. If you don't have any practice for mindfulness, there are a lot of good opportunities for that, and they don't take much out of your time. And I'm sure there are things that can be repeatable.
Oh, you just made me think about how mindfulness was such a big theme of last year's conference. And we talked about the theme just kept coming up about how important having a practice of meditation in your daily personal life is, and just how it helps you on so many levels to do the self-care piece and to feel recharged and to feel able to cope with, you know, the things that life is throwing our way. So I would highly encourage people to explore some sort of mindfulness practice and check out the things on our website, and also just explore what that might be for yourself in terms of a meditation practice or mindfulness.
I have a daily meditative practice. It's kind of hard for me to explain how it helps. I just recommend people doing it. Do you have any recommendations for people who are looking to maybe start a mindfulness practice?
There are a lot of possibilities. I do a regular moon meditation, and so those are available by signing up at my website, which is astrologyheals.com. And I do a new moon and a full moon guided meditation. That's what I offer. We also have some really good meditation experts in our group. You can go check out our, on our member directory on our website. We have practitioners, and they're I don't know if it specifically lists their mindfulness or what they do in terms of meditation, but if you just get on our mailing list and you start to hear about opportunities, there will be different things coming up. Our blog is another good resource, like I mentioned. And certainly, you know, there's lots of information out there about different meditation approaches and practices.
Well, yeah, tell me a little bit more about this moon meditation. So what does a guided meditation during a moon cycle offer?
Well, so my approach to astrology, like I said, is like to use it as a tool to support your ongoing learning, growth, and healing. You know, I think of personal growth as really just part of our own healing process. And so I use a moon cycle to support that. And I recommend that people set their intentions at the new moon. And so the new moon, energetically, astrologically, is a seed time. It's a time when we want to plant the seeds of what it is we want, and to kind of affirm and set intentions of what kinds of experiences we want to have, what we want it to feel like. You know, do we want to have an intention of feeling more peaceful, feeling less stressed, feeling more in the flow, feeling more able to help, you know, whatever it is, that we set those intentions at the new moon. And then the moon cycle can actually support us, because as the moon waxes or gets bigger each day, then that energy is growing, it's building, and we're starting to see results in the world. And when the moon is full, something is revealed to us. So when we've set our intentions, the full moon supports, you know, sort of an aha moment or some sort of inspiration or recognition of what it is we need to realize or shift or be aware of, that's going to help us manifest those intentions. So I work with the moon cycle, and the guided meditations that I provide support people in doing that ongoing practice. And we have not just a new moon every month, but we have a new moon in a particular zodiac sign. And so that's part of what I do with my practice, is I help people have the awareness of, you know, what is the energy of this new moon? Is it about self-care? Is it about action? Is it about relationship? What is the theme of this new moon that you can align yourself with and understand that what's happening in the world around you and your situations and circumstances, how is that supporting your learning and growth in this area? So like just the way you were saying that a reading had helped you to have that awareness of why you are the way you are, or just have that validation that certain patterns or ways of being that you have are there and you can see them in your chart. It's also similar to what's happening with the ongoing astrological cycles, including the moon cycle, that there is a theme of relationship this month. And, you know, no wonder that's where all my, things are coming up in my life for me to look at, and how I can work with that in a positive way to generate shift and find empowerment and ultimately manifest more of the experiences I want to have.
And how can people, and you host those on your website, how can people participate in those?
Yeah, my website, astrologyheals.com, is the place to start. I have a free set of videos there that help you create a soul-based action plan. And that's part of my gift and my theme for 2021 is looking to the future and what is our vision for the future and what do we want to create. And so I have a series of videos and worksheets that are totally free. Anybody can go and take advantage of those put your, you know, some thought into your own action plan and what that might look like. And then it will walk you through this experience of the monthly moon cycles and meditations and what that could look like and how to participate in that if you're interested.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Now, and then are you working on a 2021 forecast for OHNA?
Oh, gosh. I have, I can't even remember. Honestly, because what I do every year is I create a forecast for the dates of the conference, and we then meet as a group, and based on my forecast, we come up with a theme for the conference that matches the energies of those particular dates. And since everything is up in the air this year, we don't know when Brighton Bush will be back. We're not sure if we're going to have an in-person conference in 2021 or if it might not be until 2022. We're still figuring all that out. So I don't have the actual dates and an assessment. But in general, I can say that for 2021, I definitely have thoughts and what we're looking toward in 2021 is some very different energies than what we've had in 2020 and the years leading up to it. So I'd be happy to talk about that if you're interested.
Oh, I'm interested.
Okay. Come on. Yeah. Well, basically, so the 2020 energies, the ones that brought a global pandemic and, you know, all kinds of breakdown, as well as a glimpse of the future. But those are, the hard energies we've been going through are about three planets that came together in Capricorn and are still together in Capricorn. Capricorn is a sign of structure and limitations and, our mortality. It's like the teacher that you had, you know, that just was so hard on you, but because that teacher believed in you, because that teacher saw your potential, they said, I'm not going to let you get off easy. I'm going to make things hard for you because I know that you're going to stretch. I know that you're going to grow into your potential. And that's what 2020 has been like for us. It's been like, okay, you know, we're going to make it hard because we want to see what you're capable of. We want to see how strong you are. We want you to find your inner resources. So that's the energy of 2020. But even heading into mid-December of 2020 and the end of 2020, the beginning of 2021, we have a shift of two of those planets from the three planets in Capricorn are Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter. And both Saturn and Jupiter are going to shift into Aquarius. And Aquarius is a very different feeling. So while Capricorn is about limitations and structure and hard work and heavy responsibility, Aquarius is about freedom. It's about spaciousness and the ability to move and rebel. It's a very revolutionary energy and a very future-oriented energy. It's innovative. It's looking to inventing new solutions and seeing new possibilities, thinking outside the box. So again, you know, it's not like one is good and one is bad. It's just going to feel different. And I think that we got a glimpse of Saturn briefly went into Aquarius during 2020. I think it was March through the end of June, if I'm remembering right off the top of my head. And that was when the Black Lives Matter protests just erupted. And so we're going to see more of that coming. We're going to see more of this revolutionary, you know, breaking outside of the box, not tolerating the status quo anymore. So, yeah, so it's going to feel more of that, I think, hopeful energy, more of that revolutionary, progressive excitement about the future kind of feeling is what we're going to see in 2021.
Okay. Well, that's a lot different.
It is. Yeah. And everything has a positive or higher side and a lower or negative side. And that you know, the more negative side of Aquarius would be experience of alienation, isolation, you know, some of this that we're experiencing with having to be socially distanced and being more reliant on technology and less on human connection. And so there's a possibility that that might continue, but hopefully we'll be taking these new technologies that we're forced to use and applying them to solving the problems of the future and having more creative input to how we're going to be more sustainable.
Yeah, I love that, because like you can, I like those kinds of forecasts, because it's like, how does that apply to you if you were to think about it that way? And does something resonate there to create some sort of project or side thing for you for the year?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. How does that show up for you?
Yeah. Super cool. Yeah. This was really, I really enjoyed the talk. I'd like to do it again sometime. This is great.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
So we can find you at astrologyheals.com for your personal stuff. Then OHNA.org. Is that right?
Oregon Holistic Nurses.org.
Okay. And, is there anything else you'd like to plug? For sure.
Oh, I don't think so. There was one thing I wanted to address, though, and this question comes up sometimes because there is an American Holistic Nurses Association, and sometimes people get confused because they think that if they join Oregon Holistic Nurses Association, that they are joining AHNA. And so I just wanted to explain what that is. AHNA is a national organization, and they do a national conference and have, you know, amazing presentations as well. The Oregon Holistic Nurses Association really became what it became because the structure of AHNA was designed to have chapters which were defined by your geographic location within a 60-mile radius. And because that didn't work very well for us in Oregon, because we have rural areas and lower population, and we're so spread out that it ended up that we created our own statewide organization. And so that is, focused on the things I talked about earlier, but there are two separate organizations. You can participate in both. And we'd love to have you with us in the Oregon Holistic Nurses Association. It's not only for nurses, it's also for integrative practitioners. And many of our presenters have been integrative practitioners who are not nurses, but experts in their field and bring their wisdom. So, so we just encourage you to check us out.
Yeah, I personally cannot say enough about the organization. It's really just provided so much. It's in every other Western country in the world, holistic care is actually incorporated at the bedside. And we don't see that a lot here in the United States, but it's something definitely we're behind in and moving towards. So I definitely suggest looking up your local holistic nurses chapter. If you're in Oregon, I am a member of Oregon Holistic Nurses Association, so I'm biased and I really appreciate them, but I'm sure there's a lot of cross membership between both organizations here. So I hope you come check them out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, Marina. I thank you so much for all you do. I'm really looking forward to actually hopefully getting more members on because I think with everything going on, we're asked to do a lot, especially as frontline healthcare workers and healers. And so we're healing. We're generally an empathetic sort of person. And so you can feel everything going on in the world at times. And so it's really important that, like you said, fill your cup, keep it full for yourself, because you can't provide care for others in the way you want to do it unless you're caring for yourself.
So true. Very well put. Yeah. And I think that your point about people being having that empathetic, sensitive perspective, that there are a lot of holistic practices that can support you in learning how to manage that and take care of yourself and not burn out so that you can continue doing the good work you're doing.
Yeah. Is there anything else we want to add before we close up?
No, thank you so much, Paul.
One more time, thank you to Marina for joining us on this last episode. I had a really great conversation. I hope a lot of you get a chance to check out Oregon Holistic Nurses Association and their mini breaks. Again, those are hosted free to the public, and I could really offer some self-care teaching opportunities for all of us at in our time of need, really. I really get concerned with a lot of our peers dealing with struggling with work, family, you know, burnout. So there's a lot of great tools in there. I definitely recommend, if you are a healthcare practitioner, joining the Oregon Holistic Nurses Association or seeking out the Holistic Nurses Association in your area, as well as if you really like the talk that I had about Marina and her practice, to check out Astrology Heals. So thank you so much for joining us for this episode, and have a great new year.